Let's get to the mixed bag. Patrick Mahomes, he's good, but didn't have a very good Super Bowl. And this is what the Chiefs QB had to say when he reported to camp on if losing in the Super Bowl is a motivating factor for him.
I mean, obviously, we didn't play the way we wanted to play, and on a national stage, a worldwide stage, and you want to go out there and be better, and so that kind of helps you out on some of those extra workouts that you don't want to do, or some of the different stuff that in order to get better for that next season. It kind of keeps that in your mind. But now we're here. I mean, we're here. You have to start over. How can I get better for my teammates? How can I get better for the guy beside me? And going out there and attacking so that we can find a way to win that last game and not lose it.
There you go. The Chiefs. I mean, the way they went through that season last year, it just kind of felt like miracle after miracle. They were just pulling out these wins, Dan.
But notice, the last thing he said, we're going to try to win that last game instead of lose it. That type of attitude, that's a championship attitude, yep. Rather than us being like, man, I hope we have not a losing record, and I hope we can win our first playoff game in 25 years. They have so much higher aspirations than us right now.
It is very pathetic. It's really like, it is one of those things when you talk about... You know, and look, we see that with the Panthers. The Panthers are going to go through that because I heard, Matthew Tkachuk said this at his cup day where he was like, he goes, well, if I would have come back from that injury and we would have lost, that wouldn't have been worth it, even if we would have lost in the finals. I was like, damn, that guy really just like, it's the cup or it's nothing.
Now, even go further down the list, being a Saints fan born and raised in New Orleans, I'm hoping we get more than four wins. So, yep. You know.
Or maybe you don't because you want to get Arch.
That's true. I'm sure his family would love that. It went so well for his grandfather.
It would be Goosey's, though. It would be a cool story.
Oh, yeah. It'd be great.
It would be really cool. Marcus Smart stole a Defensive Player of the Year from Bam Adebayo based on the Ringer Media Machine. That decided that a Celtics defense that was good for 3 months deserved to have somebody win Defensive Player of the Year instead of the best defensive player on the planet. Not that I'm still salty about it or anything. Well, he's not a Celtic anymore. He is a Los Angeles Laker. And Marcus Smart says that is because of their favorite little Slovenian, Luka Doncic.
A guy like Luka calling, referencing, checking on you, trying to see where you at to see, and that if you want to come, join something special that he's trying to cook up over here, and for him to say that, to see that he can really use my help, that meant a lot.
Here's the thing. If I can heat relate this for a second, I'm going to be honest with you. I know that I got a little giddy about Bam and Luka hanging out with each other in Greece. But I've heard nothing but since this summer has started about Luka recruiting. Kind of makes me nervous now. What the hell was Luka Doncic saying to Bam Adebayo in Greece? Because I'm going to tell you something right now. If he's anything like Goran Dragic, I know those Slovenians are adorable, and they charm you.
They're charming. They're a rough charm.
Yep, it's a rough charm. And now all of a sudden, he's got DeAndre Ayton, he's got Marcus Smart, and the word is none of them are hearing from LeBron.
Yeah, I haven't heard a word about LeBron.
Haven't heard a peep about LeBron, and maybe Luka's like telling Bam, he goes, "Why don't I get this old man out of here? We trade him for you, bring you to the Lakers, then you'll be appreciated for once in your life." And Bam's like, makes me nervous that I hear all these people out here recruiting player after player. LeBron been salty as hell, and now all of a sudden Luka's like, hey Bam, Gogi says you don't feel so appreciated, Bobby. I know how these Slovenians work. You better stay. Hey, Goran, you better not let that happen, or Bam, you better get your recruiting on.
This kind of sounds like Luka's drunk dialing Marcus Smart, people. Like, he's at home drinking some Miller Lite, like, let me call and check on him.
Yep.
Hey.
Yep.
Still want to come to Los Angeles,
SDI says, would be a great way to get out of Bam's contract. I don't like that, SDI. Please stop that.
Ooh, talking about loser
like
talk.
I don't like that. Hunter says, I don't like this. I don't like it either. But I don't like what I've been hearing with all this Luka recruiting left and right. And we know LeBron's kind of making a stink. And we always thought it was like, oh, Wiggins and such for it. I hope it's that, because I would really, I don't know, I don't know if my mind could handle that. But these Lakers fans, I mean, like the delusion left and right that they get to have, because you know, everybody lands in their lap. It's ridiculous. Oh, man. All right, flipping back to the Dolphins a little bit. Alec Ingold, he is Dolphins fullback. He was not invited to the Lusaka Polite golf tournament with Leroy Horde. But he said that the Dolphins have a foxhole mentality going into this season. Here was Alec Ingold.
Brings its own challenges, and I don't know if you can ever really be prepared for whatever it's thrown at you until you're looking at it in the face. And last year, honestly, I don't think it was time for fun. Like, it was time to buckle down the hatches, dig a foxhole, and work. Like, that was what was necessary to go from 2-6 to 6-2. We didn't have the hot start and the excitement around us. I think we responded in a way that was necessary. So this year, obviously, we have a few years of continuity with some guys. You can see who enjoys having fun, and we can uplift those guys that way. You got other people that work really well in foxholes, and I feel like this year, whatever it's going to bring, we have to be very mindful of what happened in the past, but we can't let that hang over our heads for forever. This has to be a new team, a new year, a new season, new group of guys who want to go out and chase it, whatever is asked of us.
Look, that Alec Ingold, he seems like an A-plus dude. I really don't want to hear about how the season ended 6-2. Like, it is, to me, this whole idea about, oh, you started this way. How about the Dolphins under Mike McDaniel stop being so damn streaky all the time? Like, it's always like this team is either all the way up or they crater down. I would just like a through line of consistency. And I'm not saying win, lose, win, lose, win, lose. That would also make me annoyed. But, like, the ebbs and flows of the Mike McDaniel era, which also have entangled with, of course, Tua Tagovailoa injuries, have been very, very frustrating. So, yes, great. You guys went out there and you finished 6-2. You didn't go out there and you didn't win the games that would have really put you solidified into a playoff position, even with the rough start. You know, you had the Houston loss. You finished off with a loss to the Jets. You know, and Thanksgiving was really the one where everybody's like, ugh.
Yeah.
It was so embarrassing to get, you know, you showed up. Even your own teammates called you soft. So, well, yes. Let's give it a little nice little up for the Dolphins finishing 6-2, even though they really finished 6-3. Great for them. However, those two losses, you really would have done something if you could have at least won one of them. So that's that. Bradley Chubb, he's back at it with your Miami Dolphins, and he was asked about how hungry is he to get back out there after missing the season. Here's what Chubba-Dub-Dub had to say.
How hungry are you to get back out there after missing?
Starving, man. It's been a long time coming. You know, OTAs was kind of just dipping the foot in, getting around the guys again, feeling that team, that camaraderie. But now training camp is going, the seasons, you see it on the horizon. It's just about taking each and every day. And that's what I miss the most about this, honestly. Like, the training camps is never fun. It sucks. You know, you're doing it each and every day, but you're doing it together. And that's what I missed about it. That's what it's all about. So I'm just excited to get back to that.
I'm excited for him to get back too. It sucks that you know, he had to deal with such a bad injury. Remember, he comes off the PUP last year, but the Dolphins, are they really in it? Is it smart to risk bringing him back? And they decided not to. So he's had a lot of time now to recover from this ACL. You hope that you have I will say physically, he does look like he's in really good shape. Just eye test wise, he looks really slim at the podium. Looks like he's leaned out. So maybe a little bit lighter on that injured knee and explosiveness. That, to me, is like one of the X factors for the Dolphins, Dan. You got Chop Robinson coming into a year two after he really rounded into form. Bradley Chubb and hopefully a Jalen Phillips who's going to be good to go. Man, if things click that way, that's a strength the Dolphins can lean into.
Absolutely. Coming off the edges and then inside, if you get everything shored up with Zach Sealer and Kenneth Grant, a first-round draft pick, you got a pretty good defensive line right there.
It's got some impressive elements to it. There's no doubt about that. And then we also heard from Darren Waller, new Miami Dolphins tight end, and he explained that Frank Smith, Dolphins offensive coordinator, who he knows from his time with the Raiders, was a big factor in why he ended up back with the Miami Dolphins.
Frank is my guy, man. So when I got claimed off the Ravens practice squad in 2018, I got to the Raiders, and he was my tight end coach. You know, met me at the door, and one of the first things he was interested in was, what do I need as a man, like, in, you know, my newfound sobriety, like, whatever I need to just be solid as a human being. And then that struck me a lot. And then just his knowledge of the game, the culture that he created, not only in our room, but just with how he interacted with players, I thought was rare in coaches I had seen to that point. And, you know, some of the best years of my career were with him in the room, and just some of my best football memories overall. So to be able to reconnect with him is amazing.
Well, that's great. And hopefully Frank Smith sees something there that will make him a productive player after having the time off that he has. Certainly seems like Waller, you know, wants that level of comfort coming on in, some familiarity. And look, if the Dolphins can somehow strike any kind, I don't even want to say strike gold, because that seems like a ridiculous standard to put it at. But if they can get some level of production there, especially, you know, just a red zone target, somebody Tua can lean on there with all the size that he brings to the table, it won't sting as much losing the loss of Jonnu Smith. It's a little bit like, it's kind of reminiscent, kind of the Calais Campbell move, but Calais Campbell never left football. He was just old. But even with losing Christian Wilkins, they're like, hey, man, what are they going to do? Not having Christian Wilkins here. And they basically got Calais Campbell delivered to them late into the process of the offseason on the cheapskies. And he was awesome. He was awesome in every which way for the Miami Dolphins. He probably exceeded expectations. There were times where you're wondering, is he going to stick around with this team? Is he going to be with them the rest of the way? He did stick with them the rest of the way. But, and really took over as a big part of that locker room. But you knew that, hey, it sucked losing Christian Wilkins, but getting Calais Campbell there was a big nod to the Miami Dolphins. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that Darren Waller can turn out to be something that will really benefit the Dolphins in the long run. So that is your mixed bag, ladies and gentlemen. That is what we got there for you. And as camp has concluded, the big news out of camp today, there was a couple of serious injuries, it appears. The most serious, Dolphins offensive lineman Byron Matos was injured late in the team's camp. According to the Miami Herald's Barry Jackson, he was taken by helicopter to a local hospital. He's in stable condition, but the team would not say anything else about the nature of his injury. He writes that the team ended practice while medical officials were administering to Matos, who was on the field surrounded by his teammates for more than 10 minutes before being airlifted to the hospital. The team said the injury was not not why practice ended after 90 minutes. First training camp practices tend to be shorter. But he is in his second year, didn't play a snap last season, 6'7", 334 pounds, and he is one of those guys. He was born in the Dominican Republic. He's a moose and one of those kind of project guys the Dolphins brought in last year, but unfortunately got what appears to be a pretty serious injury, and we're wishing him the best. The other piece of news is that Artie Burns, who is in his first season, he got injured. He got tangled up with a player during backpedal drills early in practice, and according to Barry, slammed his helmet in frustration, but he left the facility on crutches with an injury what appeared to be his right leg. So those are the injuries the Dolphins are dealing with today after day one. We'll come back as hour two is a wrap. When we come back, we'll hear a little bit from the man, Tua Tagovailoa, especially on his thoughts on Tyreek Hill, who saying, you know, he's putting all of his focus into football. But Tua Tagovailoa had some thoughts on how Tyreek Hill ended last year, said that he wanted to be out and move on to another team.